Great. Well, as I said at the start, my name's Ben, and it's so great that you have come to celebrate these baptisms with us. It's fair to say that baptisms are the kind of highlight of our church life because they represent that moment where somebody is willing to publicly declare that I have come to know Jesus, I've come to know the forgiveness he offers, I've come to know the life that he brings. It's not simply, oh, you know, I've accepted a minor lifestyle change. It's not that. It's that moment where they say, I see in the person of Jesus what it was that I was looking for in my life. I have seen in that person the forgiveness I so desperately needed, the love I've been searching for, the purpose that I'm longing for. And I guess the question is, The question is why? Like, why would anyone ever get to that point? Why would anybody ever do that? Why would anybody get to a point where they're willing to leave behind one way of life and go and pursue a different way of life? And that, why would you do that potentially after 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years of something else? And I think that's a question that all of us have to take seriously because it's been happening for 2,000 years. For 2,000 years, people have been making this decision. Some people have been making this decision to, in Jesus, come to him and say, yes, he is the person I am now going to live my life for. This is how I'm now going to live. This is what I'm going to do with my life. And so really all I want to do now is just for 10 to 15 minutes, I just want to explore that question. Why is it that anybody would do that? Why is it that these six people today have made that decision for themselves? And why is it that so many people throughout history have decided that this is what they're going to do? Now, to begin with, I just want you to cast your mind back to COVID. Now, some of you might have erased those moments from your mind. You might be like, I never want to go back there. I never want to think of it again. But just humor me for a couple of minutes. So cast your mind back to lockdown, that moment where you were kind of so limited in what you could do. Maybe some of you were working less than you ever done. Maybe some of you were working more than you'd ever done during those months. But unable to get out, unable to have the normal human interactions that we had. And then spring came and the sun came out and the restrictions started to just slightly loosen. Now, during that time, what I started doing was I started cycling. Now, I knew how to ride a bike before, but I have never been a keen cycler. It would be fair to say I remain not a particularly keen cycler. I'm pretty limited in my cycling ability. But anyway, a few of us started cycling because it was a way that you could get outside during the pandemic and you could sort of be around other people without actually interacting with them. So we started cycling, we started going out. And during the spring, as we went out, a few of us were like, right, when the restrictions get to the right level, what we're going to do is we're going to cycle the coast to coast. And so July came, the summer came, and the sun came out, and restrictions were lifted. We were able to stay away from home. And so we booked a few places, and we're like, right, we're going to cycle the coast to coast. So we got driven over to Whitehaven on the west coast, and over 3 days, we decided we were going to cycle. 3 days is about as quickly as I can do it. We were going to cycle from there all the way over to Sunderland. So we did this, and it was amazing. It was really sunny during the whole time. You cycle over the Lake District in day one. You cycle over the Pennines day two. Day three is brilliant because it's basically all downhill. You just like downhill all the way into Sunderland. And on day three, we cycled into Sunderland. We arrived there about quite early. I think it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And it felt a bit like an anticlimax. Like you've done two hard days. And then that third day felt like a half day, just like downhill. And everyone else had arranged to be picked up. Everyone else was like, oh, yeah, we'll get picked up from Sunderland. I hadn't planned on surviving the trip, and so hadn't bothered to worry about someone picking me up at the other side. So I had no one coming to collect me. So I was like, well, what do I do? I was like, well, it's fine. I'll just cycle from Sunderland back to Hartlepool. It's not that far, right? So everyone else got picked up, and I stayed in Sunderland. I had an ice cream, which is like the greatest ice cream I've ever eaten, on Sunderland seafront. And then I was like, right, I'm going to venture home on my bike. Now, there were a few problems with this plan. One was that it's quite a lot further than I thought it was. So it was like, it's like 30 miles on a bike to get to Sunderland. And the way I went, it was more like 40, because I had no idea where I was going. I have very poor navigational skills at the best of times and had relied on following other people for the coast to coast. So at this point, I was off, and I quickly ran out of Vimto and ran out of Mauam stripes, which were my sole form of energy for the day. And at this point, about 15 miles away from Hartlepool, I was like, I was struggling. It was further than I'd ever cycled in a day. And I was only fueled by an ice cream. That was like the calories I'd eaten, ice cream and Mauam stripes. I was hoping the sugar would get me through. And so I finally, eventually got back into Hartlepool. And I got into Hartlepool and I sent Sarah, my wife, a message, and I said, could you just run me a bath, because I'm absolutely dead, right? So she runs me a bath. So I get into the house, and in the house, I go straight to the fridge. I take out two cans of Coke. Coke is my, like, my one weakness. And so I took out two cans of Coke. I took them up to the bath, and I just lay in the bath and drank two cans of Coke more quickly than anyone has ever drank two cans of Coke in the history of the world. It was like the greatest hour of my life, that hour, just lying in this bath, finally not on a bike anymore, drinking this Coke. You see, at that point, I was tired and thirsty. And when you are tired and thirsty, nothing feels better than a rest and a drink. Like, that's just what you want. There's nothing that could satisfy you more than those things. Now, the image of tired people finding rest is an image that Jesus himself picks up. There is one point where he's talking to this crowd of people, and he makes this invitation. I think the verse was up a minute ago. We'll just put it up again there. So you'll find this verse in Matthew's Gospel. He says these words. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Now, this is a different type of tiredness, right, that Jesus is talking about here, than the tiredness I was experiencing after my ice cream fueled cycle rides. Because this is not physical weariness he's talking about. He says that, doesn't he? He says, you will find rest for your soul. He's talking about soul weariness here. And I wonder, as I kind of talk about this afternoon, I wonder if you know what that feels like. I wonder if you know what it feels like to feel weary in your soul, to feel worn down, burdened. Not physically weary, but internally weary. It strikes me that I can certainly relate to that idea. I know what that feels like, and so can so many people I talk to. For some of us, it's the weariness of just the monotony of life. That's what kind of wears us down. That's what wearies us. We get up, go to work, come home, eat something, go and watch whatever we're watching on Netflix, go to bed, and then get up and go again. And there's only so many days you can do that for before it starts to grind you down. There's nothing strictly wrong with each day. You're aware that when you look at that day is pretty good. In the grand scheme of things in the cosmos, that's not a bad day. You've had a better day than lots of people have had in that day. But it does wear us down. And over time, we just find ourselves feeling weary. For others, maybe it's not that. Maybe it's not the monotony. Maybe it's just the busyness. The busyness of life just wears you down. Constantly rushing around, always feeling behind, always feeling like that list of things that I was hoping I'd get done, I never quite get it done. In fact, it seems to just be getting longer. And often, perhaps this is the real kicker with busyness, often feeling like, what do I have to show for it? You know, I've done all this stuff. I've been like grafting so hard. And at the end of it, what have I got to show for it? For all my striving and my energy that I put into it, I'm not sure I'm any happier. I'm not sure the people around us, me, are any happier. But maybe that's what your soul weariness feels like. Maybe it's not that. Maybe for others, it's difficult situations. You know, that's what wears you down. You just look at your life and you just say, my life's hard. And it just feels like one hard thing comes after another hard thing, after another hard thing. Family members going through hard times, friends who seem to be struggling, the emotional toil just leaves us feeling exhausted. There's definitely been times in my life where I would have described to people and said to people, I just feel emotionally exhausted. I just feel so tired by all the pain that so many people seem to be going through. Now, when you feel like that, I don't know whether that's a thing you've ever felt. I don't know whether it's a thing you feel right now, but when you feel like that, you're longing for somewhere you can go and find rest for your weary souls, to take Jesus' words. And of course, there's no shortage of things that are offering you that, that's saying, come to me and you will find rest for your weary souls. For many of us, it's the next holiday. That's the thing. That's where I'm going to find rest from the monotony, rest from the busyness, rest from all the hardships. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's a new job. You know, that's the thing. A new relationship. My relationship just feels stale. A new relationship. That's the thing that's going to bring rest to my weary soul. It's going to break this pattern. And into that space comes the person of Jesus. And he says, come to me and you will find rest for your soul. Now, I do not have time, and you probably don't want me to try to go into all the ways that Jesus does that. In the person of Jesus, you find an unconditional love which frees you from the burden of constantly feeling that you have to earn other people's acceptance and love. In the person of Jesus, you find forgiveness which frees you from the weariness of guilt which saps your joy and energy. In the person of Jesus, you find freedom from your pride so that you don't have to feel like you're just constantly striving after mediocrity. In the person of Jesus, you find the God you were created to know, and when you know him, you can finally rest from your endless searching for meaning, for excitement, even for the divine, the transcendent. I could go on, but I just want you to hear the invitation, because that's the invitation that Jesus makes, right? When he's here, this is what he says to people. He says, come to me if you're weary and you'll find rest. And that's an invitation that for thousands of years, some people have been accepting. They've been saying, actually, I want that rest and I believe I can find it in the person of Jesus. A call to weary people to find rest in knowing him. If you are someone who is weary today, soul weary, then this is the invitation Jesus makes to you. It's like he stood here right now saying those words to you, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. But at the end of my ride, I was tired. But I wasn't just tired, I was also thirsty. And that feeling of thirst is another picture that Jesus picks up. This time he picks it up when he's talking to a woman by a well, an obvious place to start talking about thirst. He goes to her and he says, will you get me some water? Now, this woman is from the wrong background. She's from the wrong people group. She's got a really messy life. She's moved around from one man to the next man to the next man, found herself kind of ostracized from society. And into that, then Jesus says, could you get me a drink from the well? And the woman's surprised. She's like, why would you ask me for that? Like, you could get it yourself and you probably wouldn't want it to have anything to do with me. Why would you come to me for that? And then Jesus responds like this. The words will come up there again. He says this, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You see, here's another invitation Jesus makes. He doesn't only invite weary people to come to him to find rest. He invites thirsty people to come to him and find their thirst quenched, and with a satisfied in a way that doesn't ever come to an end. Now, again, this is clearly not physical thirst that he's talking about here, right? Because I don't know anyone who ever said, I became a Christian, I never had to drink anything else ever again in my life. Like, that's not anybody's story. Like, nobody is telling that story. Nobody thinks that's what Jesus is saying here. Now, it's just like with the rest, he's talking about a spiritual thirst. He's talking about deep satisfaction. Maybe you know what it is to have a deep-rooted dissatisfaction in your life. To feel like all your endeavors, all your achievements, all your striving, you still have this itch that you can't scratch, this thirst that you can't properly seem to satisfy. And of course, you can quench it for a bit. We all do it all the time. You know, the new job, 6 months, it feels like the dissatisfaction goes away. The new lifestyle, the new relationship, the new life plan. I've just come up with a new life plan. I've like got it all up on my wall. And like, it seems to like satisfy you for a bit. It's like, yes, I'm there. Again, into that space, Jesus walks and he makes this invitation. He said, if you know what it is to be deeply dissatisfied and to have a dissatisfaction that you can't just ever seem to get rid of, you can dampen it for a little while, you can get rid of it for a little bit, but it never seems to go away. If you know what it is to feel like that, he says, come to me and I will give you water that never leaves you thirsty. I'll bring you a satisfaction that never goes away. Jesus is saying that deep longing you have, that deep-rooted dissatisfaction, you can only permanently deal with that by coming to me. Come to me and find your need for purpose satisfied. Come to me and find a hope which satisfies even when life seems so hopeless. Come to me and find the God that your heart is longing for with a longing so deep that nothing else will ever satisfy you. I started with the question, why would any people do what these six people are doing today? Like, why would anyone do it? Why would anyone go, I'm moving away from that and I'm moving to this? Well, there's many reasons, but I just want to give you those two. These two invitations. Many people come to Jesus because they are weary and in him they find the rest that their souls are longing for. Many people come to him because they are dissatisfied, walking around with a nagging ache that they can't seem to shake. And a sense that there should be something more to their life. And they come to Jesus, and in him they find the God who satisfies. They find a life which has meaning and hope to deal with all the frustrations and disappointments they will face. So I'm going to wrap it up here because we want to hear from the other guys who have been baptized and we want to get on with the baptisms. But this is all I wanted to do this afternoon. I just want to issue that same invitation to every one of you here today. Maybe you only came here to be supportive. You're only here because like someone asked you and you felt like, hey, I should be supportive. I should get behind their thing. It's not really my thing, but you know, I should check it out. I just want you to hear the invitation because it's still there. It's still there for you. This is the invitation Jesus made to every person throughout history. And really that's why we exist as Grace Church. Grace Church only started in 2015. We've only been around eight years. And we exist really to keep giving this invitation to weary people to come to Jesus and find rest, this invitation to thirsty, dissatisfied people, come to Jesus and find something that truly satisfies. It seems to me so obvious that so many of us are facing this deep spiritual weariness, this deep dissatisfaction. So many of the conversations I have with people show that this is something that many of us are struggling with. And so surely it's worth checking out if Jesus can really deliver on this invitation. You might be sat there going, yeah, it sounds pretty good, but I just do not believe he can deliver on that. I mean, that's surely what you've got to check out, right? And there's many ways you could do that. You could tap into Grace Church. We meet 3 o'clock every Sunday. You could keep coming to that. You could talk to the people who you've come here to. You could talk to one of the people who've been baptized. You could talk to me. But this is the invitation. This is the invitation that six people today are declaring that they have accepted. It's the invitation that people have been accepting for hundreds of years. Thanks so much. I'm going to hand back to Michael, and then I think we're going to hear from three more people, and then we'll start doing some baptisms. So thanks, everyone.